we can eliminate the electric vector scalar potential from the equation of induction, so we end up with a simplified equation of induction for the magnetic vector potential. The boundary conditions are the same as you've seen before, and in the following I will tell you about the finite element analysis on this boundary value problem. I will use capital letter A instead of this A tail in the following. And okay. So there are even more formulations on the anti boundary value problem possible. So it could be in terms of the electric field, the magnetic field, or any secondary potential approach or field approach is possible. And the question I'm really interested in is there a most efficient formulation on the boundary value problem? And I will take the chance to have all these boundary value problem formulations implemented under the same environment as a commercial finite element package, and I'd like to compare them if there is a most efficient one, and if there's anybody who has experience in this, then I would be happy if you could give me a hint on this. And actually, this will be the main point of my PhD thesis, that hopefully it will be finished this year. Okay, let's go into the finite element things. Mathematicians like to formulate the boundary value problem in the sense of an inner product using a test function V. So, and this so-called V formulation looks like this. There are function spaces, and here it's a very special one. They go back to a net elect, and these finite elements are called co-conforming elements, and they are very suitable for approximating fields, vector fields, whose tangential components are continuous. So it's just the, they are just the right elements to approximate the magnetic vector potential A in our case. There is discrete approximation of this vector potential with basis functions phi and expansion coefficient A. And taking this discrete representation, we end up with a system of equations in matrix vector form. Considering the boundary values for the inhomogeneous Dirichlet boundary conditions, we get the right-hand side of the system of equations that is non-zero, so there are the Dirichlet boundary values that can be computed analytically. As I told you before, we use this finite element package called multiphysics, console multiphysics, so it's a commercial one, and we solve the system of equation with the direct Gaussian solver.
Does this commercial package, is it you put in your model and it comes up with all the elements and stuff?
Yes,
or what?
Something like this. So there is a mesh generator included, and there is the assembly of the matrices is there, and the different types of solvers are included there. But it's really dangerous when you do not know about modeling techniques and these things, so it's really hard to get into it, and you need to implement the boundary conditions there, and so I think it's still tricky enough to deal with these commercial things as well.
I guess the mesh generator is nice to have, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the top.
And at nearly every stage of solving the boundary value problem, you can go outside of this commercial package. You know, you can expose the mesh, for instance, and all the other things, and you can use, I don't know, equation solver, MATLAB, or anything else. Okay, to give you an idea how these basis functions look like, they are polynomials of arbitrary degree, mostly linear or quadratic basis functions are used, and for each basis function, or for all the basis functions, challenges for this finite element thing in connection with the unstructured grids is still the large effort that is needed to administer these unstructured tetrahedral grids. And that's why it's very important to have the optimum trade-off between the fitting of the boundary conditions and the minimization of the discretization error. And in this case, I had a forward model for each frequency decade, so I needed to try to minimize this discretization error. And yeah, a smart distribution of these degrees of freedom is needed. And on the other hand, this blocky forward model was not well suited to show the advantages of the finite element method, because the advantages are really in the precise parametrization of arbitrary surface topography, arbitrary model geometry. And I think a main advantage is that there is a huge mathematical theory, and this includes these a posteriori error estimators, and you could have an adaptive mesh refinement based on this. And yes, in my eyes, these are the main advantages of the finite element method. And now at the end, I'd like to show you a picture of one of the models that I used to calculate these data, and I think this gives a good impression of how these meshes look like and what they what their advantages are. Thanks for your attention. Jumping maybe to the next tetrahedral. tetrahedral.